This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Hello and welcome. I'm Natalie Pinchem, and I will be reading synopses of some of the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery on May 3rd, 2013. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are vascular disorders, oncology, epilepsy, and traumatic brain injury. Dissociation of vasospasm-related morbidity and outcomes in patients with aneurysmal subarachnoid hemorrhage treated with clazosentan. A meta-analysis of randomized controlled trials. A review article by Jian Shen and colleagues. Vasospasm-related morbidity and outcomes have not been demonstrated to be statistically significant with clazosentan therapy after aneurysmal subarachnoid hemorrhage, although clazosentan has been found to be effective in reducing the incidence of vasospasm. This meta-analysis includes 4 randomized, placebo-controlled trials, enrolling 2,181 patients. The results demonstrated a significant decrease in delayed ischemic neurological deficits and delayed cerebral infarction in patients treated with clazosentan after aneurysmal subarachnoid hemorrhage. However, this treatment was not shown to improve outcomes, including functional outcomes measured by the Glasgow Outcome Scale Extended or mortality. The dissociation between vasospasm-related morbidity and clinical outcomes has several possible explanations. The most important factors possibly may have been those confounding therapeutic benefit on outcomes. Adverse events and rescue therapy led to differences in baseline levels, obscuring the benefit of clazosentan. Further research into sensitivity of clinical outcome measures, inclusion criteria, the optimal dose and duration of therapy should also be considered. Clinicopathological characteristics and treatment of rhabdoid glioblastoma. A clinical article by Ranjith Babu and co-authors. Rhabdoid glioblastoma is an exceedingly rare and aggressive tumor in which some of the tumor cells possess rhabdoid features. In the 9 previously reported cases, the longest survival was only 9 months, with these cases having a median survival of 17.8 weeks. In the present study, the authors report the clinicopathological characteristics of 4 new cases of rhabdoid glioblastoma. They demonstrate the utility of intensive adjuvant therapy in these tumors. The median age of all patients with rhabdoid glioblastoma was 30 years, with all lesions occurring supratentorially. Leptomeningeal dissemination occurred in 64% of patients, with 1 occurrence of extracranial metastasis. Genetic analysis revealed these tumors to share the molecular characteristics of conventional primary glioblastoma. Treatment in the study group involved tumor resection followed by radiotherapy and concurrent temozolomide. All patients also received other agents such as bevacizumab, interleukin-13, lomustine, and etoposide. This aggressive treatment led to a median survival of 27.5 months. The current study suggests that multi-agent therapy with continued treatment despite stable disease is warranted for those with rhabdoid glioblastoma because of the tumor's proclivity for recurrence and dissemination. seizure outcome in surgically treated drug-resistant mesial temporal lobe epilepsy based on the recent histopathological classifications. A clinical article by Marco Giulioni and co-workers. The evidence that histopathological findings are strongly related with postoperative seizure outcome in drug-resistant temporal epilepsy is becoming more and more consistent. The International League Against Epilepsy has been searching for more appropriate classifications of mesial temporal sclerosis, granule cell pathology, focal cortical dysplasia, and epilepsy-associated low-grade tumors. These recent efforts have, according to the authors, clearly increased the prognostic capability of clinicians treating patients with these conditions. The authors analyzed 120 cases involving patients who underwent tailored surgery for drug-resistant focal temporal lobe epilepsy with a follow-up of at least 2 years according to the recent histopathological classifications. Their results showed that surgery provided seizure control, Engel class 1 outcome, in 84% of patients affected with low-grade tumors, and in 82% of patients with mesial temporal sclerosis without focal cortical dysplasia, and in 83% of patients with both mesial temporal sclerosis and focal cortical dysplasia. Isolated focal cortical dysplasia was associated with a worse prognosis, with only 59% of patients having Engel class 1 outcome. Interestingly, patients with mesial temporal sclerosis and granule cell pathology had better outcomes than patients who had mesial temporal sclerosis but did not have granule cell pathology. The authors conclude that seizure outcome after temporal lobe epilepsy surgery is strongly related to underlying pathology and that this explains some cases of treatment failure. Moreover, they note that improving neuroimaging and neuropathological correlations may help to better define prognostic factors and optimize surgical management. Non-surgical treatment of chronic subdural hematoma with tranexamic acid, a clinical article by Hiroshi Kageyama and colleagues. Chronic subdural hematoma can often be successfully treated surgically by inserting a burr hole and draining the liquefied hematoma. However, for non-emergent cases not requiring surgery, the best approach for preventing hematoma enlargement or resolving it completely has not been described. The authors hypothesized that hyperfibrinolysis plays a major role in liquefaction of chronic subdural hematomas. Therefore, they evaluated whether treatment with tranexamic acid, a fibrinolytic agent, could completely resolve chronic subdural hematoma. They identified 21 patients with chronic subdural hematoma to whom they gave 750 milligrams of tranexamic acid orally every day. 3 of these patients underwent burr hole surgery before receiving medical therapy. Patients were followed up with clinical and radiographic examinations for a median of 56 days. For all patients, hematoma volume decreased sufficiently. No hematoma recurred or progressed. The authors concluded that chronic subdural hematoma can be treated with tranexamic acid without concomitant surgery. Tranexamic acid might simultaneously inhibit the fibrinolytic and inflammatory systems, which might consequently resolve chronic subdural hematoma. This medical therapy might prevent the early stages of chronic subdural hematoma and hematoma recurrence after surgery. Thank you for listening to the Journal of Neurosurgery. To listen to more of our podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org. You can also follow the Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group on Twitter and now also on Facebook.